The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
JEDEC's Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, here listening to Matt Slick Live. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I know that I'm I worried a few people here. I got it the last possible second. So I don't know if they're having a heart attack or not. But hey, look, we got five open lines. Why don't you give me a call? All right, I can we can talk. Let's see, in 3 hours I'll be on Clubhouse and answering questions for people there for a couple of hours. Do that. I was on the web last night for about 3 hours, answering questions, teaching, giving the gospel out to Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholics. You know, it's really sad. They don't know what the gospel is. It's a question that I ask. A very simple question is I said this one guy. I said, he's an Eastern Orthodox guy last night. I said, okay, look, let's talk. Let's say that, you know, you witness an accident and you jump to help somebody. And this guy's bleeding out, and he's got minutes, 4 or 5 minutes to live. And you're the one he's talking to, and he's desperate, and he says, what do I do to have my sins forgiven? What do you tell him? And this guy said, well, I'd baptize him. Man. Oh, you'd baptize him, huh? Yeah, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, and that's what gets his sins forgiven? By an operation, by a ceremony? You know, just do this thing, and the sins are forgiven? He goes, yes. Oh, man. So anyway, this went on, and I gave him the gospel. And I got a compliment. A guy said I was a good storyteller. I was telling stories. Well, illustrations, I should say, on the issue of truth and things like that. And well, you know, that's what it is. All right, hey, I'm just rambling. We got four open lines, and if you are interested in emailing me, you can do that. All you have to do is just email me at info@carm.org. We've got questions piling up a little bit, so maybe we'll get to some of them. We'll see. Let's jump on the air with Jason from Arizona. Jason, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thank you.
Sure.
I had a question regarding 1 Timothy 2:4. I'm Reformed.
Okay.
And when it talks about he desires all men to be saved, the mm-hmm. Reformed position that I've read is basically saying classes of men like kings, Gentiles, those in authority. So it literally can't mean every single solitary person, because if he desired them to be saved, he'd regenerate them, right?
Yes and no. So, you've asked a very good question, and the answer is not simple, but it's easy at the same time. So, he desires all men to be saved, and yet, in Mark 4:10 through 12, Jesus speaks in parables so people will not be saved. So, I mean, there you go. In Romans 11:8, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day. So, why would he do that? Because if he wants every individual to be saved, why would he speak in parables? Well, Jesus says, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand, otherwise it might return and be forgiven. Mark 4:10-12, Jesus talking about this. Now, there's some interesting stuff. So God desires, for example, compel everyone to come into his house to be filled, Luke 14:23. And yet, in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, he sends a deluding influence on people so they'll believe a lie. And yet, in Exodus 4:21, he hardens the heart of Pharaoh so people will not be freed. And then Romans 9:18, he has mercy on whom he desires and he hardens whom he desires. So we have this bit of a dilemma. It's not really a dilemma. But we see that God says one thing sometimes and yet arranges something else. So when he says, for example, he wants all men to be saved, we have different ways we can understand that. Legitimate ways, and I'll show you a couple. And I like the idea that it means all men is all types of men and all kinds of people. because covenantally Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 15:24. He was not sent to everyone. He was only sent to the people of Israel. That's what he said in Matthew 15:24. So if he said that, then that's true. And so because the Jews broke the covenant with God and they rejected the Messiah, we the Gentiles were then grafted in. So now he was propitiation not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. So he's talking about all the people groups, because remember, Jesus was sent covenantally only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. He came to them covenantally. So there's legitimacy to the issue of 1 Timothy 2:4 and 2 Peter 3:9, wants all to be saved, is that the all can be all kinds of people, all groups of people, not just the Jews. So that's one legitimate interpretation. You with me so far?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, there's a very interesting verse, Romans 5:18. Back in the day, I was reading the New American Standard Bible. I was at a restaurant or something by myself. I was out traveling doing something. And I was reading through it, and I was flabbergasted by what I read. And this is what it says in the NASB. So then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men. Okay, that's no problem. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. And I remember sitting there going, wait a minute. Justification means you're saved. And it resulted to all men? But that's universalism. Well, Mark 3:29, Matthew 25:46, they say people go to hell. So I was confused. I was like, what is going on here? So I looked at the Greek, and the Greek says this. So as through one transgression, condemnation to all men, because there's no verb in the Greek. So through one transgression, condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all men. Romans 5:18 is a very pivotal verse in my theological understanding of things. I'm going to explain this to explain the verse you're talking about is another possibility. I want to show it from Scripture. Not from just an idea, but from Scripture. Romans 5:18 is interesting because it's two verses joined by a conjunction. Through one transgression, condemnation to all. Through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all. So Adam and Jesus are juxtaposed. Adam's transgression, condemnation to all. Jesus' sacrifice, justification of life to all. That's what's going on. But we don't talk like that. We put verbs into things. So sentence A governs sentence B, because it says, so then as through one transgression, condemnation to all men, even so, or in like manner, or in that way, through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all men. So sentence A governs sentence B. And what sentence B says is justification of life to all men. So what happens with the translators is they recognize the problem here, because if they say they're resulted, as the NASB actually does, then they have a problem, because if you can take the verb in sentence A, you've got to put the verb down in sentence B, because it's sentence B reflects from sentence A. And we know that their resulted is correct. Even so, through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. We know that. That's correct. Well, they take the verb and you put it down into the second sentence. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. But, of course, that's a problem. And this caused me to study. So I did. And I went and, like I said, looked at the Greek. And that's how come I could tell you what the Greek says. And the different translations. So the ESV says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification of life to all men. So what the ESV does is it lets sentence B govern sentence A. And they shouldn't do that. And the, the King James. Oh, King James is worse. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. They were struggling with what it meant. And instead of letting the Word of God say what it says, and then learning, they altered a translation because they submitted it to their understanding. Having said that, the resulted justification of life to all men. What's really interesting here is the next verse says, "For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made righteous." Notice it says the many. "For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made righteous. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." There he does it again. Paul does it again. He uses the same phrase in sentence A and sentence B. And so in sentence in Romans 5:19, "For as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous." Wow. So we see what Paul's doing here is he's using the same word, the same phrase, for two different concepts. Back to Romans 5:18. So we know the correct translation is the resulted justification of life to all men. But now we're stuck with the idea of universalism, which is patently false. Now what do? We study. And you find out, and I'll skip ahead and get to the point, you find out that there's a pattern that God uses with words. This is what taught me a great deal of theology, was this verse and what it led me to understand and learn out of God's word. Namely, God uses words differently than we do. He uses them differently than we do. And I can explain that probably after the break, get a little bit more into that. But here we go. I did some studying and I found out that only believers, or in our case, only the elect, have died with Christ, Romans 6:6. Romans 6:8, crucified with Christ. Colossians 3:1-5, you have died, your life is hidden with Christ. We never find a phrase any place in the Bible that says that the unbelievers died with Christ, or that those who are damned have died with Christ and died to sin and died to the world. We know that the Bible speaks of this only of believers, those who are redeemed. So we could say there's a rule that only the believers have died with Christ, only the elect, okay? Because they've become believers when God grants them faith, Philippians 1:29. So we know that it's not a reference to the unbelievers and the damned and non-elect. We know that. So then I came across this interesting verse. 1 Corinthians 15:22, I'll go there first. "For as in Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive." I'm like, whoa, that's like Romans 5:18. In Adam all die. In Christ all will be made alive. The word all has different meanings in the same sentence. Oh, it can't be. Yes, it can be. Just as the many have different meanings in the same sentence in Romans 5:19, because it's theology that Paul's teaching. Theology. And then we can make a rule that whenever we see anybody dying to sin, dying to the world, dying with Christ, it's only the believer. 2 Corinthians 5:14. "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died." The all who died can only be the elect. Only the believers, only the Christians. So now we find out that God uses the word all differently than we do. So people say all means all. Yeah, it does in its context. So Romans 5:18 is that the second all is just the group that he came to save. And in 1 Timothy 2:4, he wants all to be saved. Perhaps that all is that limited group. Could it be consistent with Scripture? Hey, we got a break, so hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. I hope that made sense to people, and I do have it written on one of my other websites, but let's get back to Jason from Arizona. Jason, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Matt. Thank you.
All right, so did you follow me, what I said in the theology there?
I'd like to think I followed the majority of it. I'm going to have to go back and let that soak in. I mean, you covered a lot of deep stuff there, but I feel I got the gist of it. But when I was telling my friend, you can correct me if my logic is wrong, but that I was telling a friend that we are not regenerated by our own will. If God doesn't regenerate us, we're not regenerated, and it's not our will. We don't make that decision. So this is election. A part of election, you know, if he chooses us for regeneration and so forth, you know. But so I was just telling a friend that there's no way that every single human being, it's God's will they be saved, because like you said, he hardens some, he doesn't regenerate some, he gives some a stupor, and some are like Pharaoh. They're vessels of wrath prepared beforehand for destruction. So, right. You know, it can be a tough subject, and I don't claim to know it all, but I'm just saying when Arminians hang their hat on God wants every single person saved, it's like there's so many scriptures that don't show that, yeah. You know?
Well, go ahead, they Matt, teach us a simplistic theological perspective that's not very deep. They're still saved, and that's fine, but they don't get it.
It's like, well, did God want Pharaoh saved when he destroyed him? Did God want, you know, the Hivites who were hardened and all these? I mean, you know better than I all through the scripture.
They'll say, oh, no, that was their own free will. God just strengthened them. He's begging. See, what is taught in a lot of churches today is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus standing at the door of your heart asking permission for you to let him in. And people don't understand that's not the biblical perspective, but it's what's taught. And
I appreciate you, Matt. I don't want to hold you all too much here, but thank you.
Yeah, it's not a problem. So, I've written a great deal on it. I've taught on it a great deal. But the basics is that 2 Peter 3:9 and 1 Timothy 2:4, the all can legitimately mean and be interpreted to mean every individual who ever lived, except that God doesn't arrange it. But then you have 1 Samuel 3:14, where God says, I've sworn that the iniquities of Eli's house will not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So it can't include the people of Eli's house. And then we have Romans 9, which you can get into quite a bit. But nevertheless, the all can be all people, but not arranged. That's a potential. And then the other one is that the all is just all groups of people, not just the Jews, because Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the third option is that the all are the ones given to him by the Father, because Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Who's the all? We go to Ephesians 1. He, the Father, chose us, the elect, in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world. He gave them to the Son. And Jesus says in John 6:37 through 40, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. It's not all who come to me the Father will give to me. All that the Father gives me will come to me. So they're already given by the Father to the Son. Those are the ones who are going to come to Christ. That means that group, we can call them the all. Because it says, all that the Father gives me, and then when it comes to, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. This is John 6:37. And so it's right there. But when I show this to people, they don't want to hear it. Most people don't want to hear it because they have the idea that, and they'll say to me, well, God would never do that. Well, I just read it to you. You know, my God would never do that. Yeah. What? You're just crazy.
Yeah, and like you said, there's so many scriptures besides Roman 9. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. it's actually jaw-dropping the amount of scriptures that, I mean, God does what he wants. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, that's, you know, election, I think most Christians don't accept election, that, you know, this decision is God's, it's not man's. So it's all your free will. That's all I hear from, you know, the Arminians. It's all my free will. You know, their holy free will anyway.
So. Yeah, they don't know what free will is. Free will, and I trick them. I'll just teach a little bit here. I'll say, let's define what free will is. And I trick them. And sometimes I'll say, look, I'm going to try and trick you here a little bit, not maliciously. Are you ready? Is that okay if I try? And they go, yeah, okay, go ahead and try. And I say, is free will the ability to make a choice between, say, good and bad? You can do good or you can do bad, and you can do either one, and no one's forcing you. You just have a free will choice to be able to do that. Is that what free will is? And they say, well, yeah. And I say, oh, you're a humanist. They said, no, you're not. I said, yeah, you are. You're a humanist. Because I just offered a definition based on human principles, not God. Because God cannot choose between good and bad. He can only do good. So what you've done, inadvertently, I told you I was going to trick you. What I'm trying to do is get you to trick people to see that they're humanists in their hearts, that they use themselves as a standard of righteousness. They don't define free will from God's perspective. They define it from their own. And then God has to answer to how they define free will based on themselves. This is what's happening. Okay.
Yeah, when you debated AJ about Romans 9, it was, he did not get that faith, Philippians 1:29, has to be imparted to us by God. He just kept right. He kept talking about the free will, and I'm like, how do you not, it has to be imparted to you.
It's granted to us, anyway. That's right. Philippians 1:29, yeah. To you it has been granted. A is passive indicative, it has been granted, and get into that. But yep, you're right.
Anyway, man. Thanks, Matt, I appreciate it.
Okay, buddy. Hey, check out this website called CalvinistCorner.com. That's my website, too.
I'll check that out. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, man. God bless. All right. There's a little bit of theology, folks. You know, when I first started radio, I was actually told in two different networks, don't preach Calvinism. And, you know, okay, all right. You know, I'll just, you know, try and keep as neutral as possible. And then people gradually start asking these kind of questions. And, well, I have to tell them the truth. Well, this is what the Bible says. And so, you know, I'm not ashamed of the Reformed perspective. You know, and if people want to disagree, that's okay. It doesn't mean you're not saved. But I'm just saying that this is what I hold to, and I hold to it for reasons, not for haphazard reasons. I wasn't taught this, and then I just believed whatever someone told me to believe. Nothing like that. I like to look at the whole of Scripture. And let me just say, if you disagree, that's okay. And if you love the Lord Jesus and He's God in flesh to you, which He should be, He died on the cross, rose from the dead, and you believe in Him, you trust in Him alone for the forgiveness of your sins, praise God. You know, that's what matters and that's what counts. So there you go. All right, let's get on the phone with Rudolph from North Carolina. Rudolph. You're welcome. I mean, you're on the air. Welcome. You're on the air.
Okay, but I've listened to you. You asked a question about what would a person say to a person dying, and I thought about that. I'm not sure what I would say, so I'm asking you, what should I say if somebody was dying in front of me?
So you trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God in flesh who died on that cross. He bore our sins in His body on the cross. And 3 days later, He rose from the dead. It was a sacrifice to God the Father to cleanse you of your sins. And He did everything necessary. What you need to do is trust in what He did. Receive what He did by faith. Ask Jesus. That's what I do. I say, ask Him. Ask Him to forgive you. And He will. Simple. That's what you got to do. There's a break. Hold on, Rudolph. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Bottom of the hour, if you want to call me, 877-207-2276. Just want to let you know that we're trying to raise some funds for a camera. In fact, as soon as we get this, I'm going to be working on trying to get some film out. I've got articles I've done. It's like, man, wish this camera was here and I could put it on video and work on that. But if you want to help donate a little bit to that cause, you can go to Give Send Go Carm Camera, Carm Camera, Carm Camera, and you can check it out right there. There's also a link found on carm.org/camera, carm.org/camera, and it'll get you to that place too. So let's see, the next longest waiting person is Brandy from North Carolina. Brandy, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, I'm calling you back, Mr. Slick, from yesterday.
Okay, and it'll take me a minute to remember. About what?
Tyranny, and we had a situation here in our school system with the mask.
I remember now.
And because
yep.
We would not wear the mask, they suspended my children indefinitely, tried to have me incarcerated, tried to have my children taken away from me.
Wait a second. They tried to have you arrested and put in jail and take your children away?
Yes.
Because you wouldn't have them wear a mask?
That's right. They were in school suspension for 2 weeks, They were being punished. They were being segregated and discriminated against because they would not cover their faith.
Sue them.
So when I decided to go pick my kids up early from school, they came home with a letter saying that they were going to be suspended from school.
Okay, your connection's very bad. You're getting worse and worse, too. I want to hear this, but maybe wherever you are.
I apologize. Hopefully you can hear me now.
A little bit better, I think. Okay, let's see.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that any better?
It's better. Yes, it is. So.
Okay.
Okay. So I would sue them.
So they were suspended. They got suspended mm-hmm. from school under the guise of quarantine for 7 months.
That's
and so
stupidity.
I had legal documentation that they were learning from home. And when the mask, mandate was, over with, they thought that my children were going to come back to school. Mind you, they had not been in school for 7 months. And my children said, no, we're going to continue to learn from home.
Good.
We've been learning from home for the past 7 months, because we don't trust them. And so that's
good.
When she sent the powers that be after me to try to have me arrested and to try to get social services involved to take my teenagers away from me. Because what it boiled down to is that the Thomasville City school system was not getting COVID money because they were not accounted for
in
the classroom.
Yep. Sue them.
Yeah. And I'm disappointed that I went through my city councilman, I went through my mayor, county commissioners, my Senate here, the politicians here in my district
yep.
and in my state. And everyone turned a blind eye, even the Republicans.
Yeah, leftist, weak, spineless cowards. So,
absolutely.
And if I were you, I'd look into a lawsuit. And I believe that Christians ought to sue the crap out of these people as much as they possibly can. Wreck them.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm hoping for. There's going to be some resources available for me in the community again. Being a veteran, being at home because due to my injuries from being in the military, it's kind of put me in an awkward situation as far as financially. But this is what it boils down to. My rights, my our inalienable rights, were given to us by God. The Constitution,
right.
whether it be federal or state, all it backs up the rights that God gave us. And I am in complete there's not even any words to put into the human language for a school official to come back and tell me that we don't have any constitutional rights. When I said that we're going to invoke our constitutional rights, we have the freedom in North Carolina to express it's religious freedom,
yes.
and when I brought this to the table and said, no, we're not doing it, we're going to stand on our constitutional rights, they came back and told me, you don't have any rights, and kicked my kids out of school. How do you withhold public education? I'm paying their salary. Anybody that lives in North Carolina is paying their salary. How do the school officials get to pick and choose who they're going to have in the school and who they're not?
Well, I would just ask them which member of the Gestapo they identify with most. That's how you win friends and influence people. Yeah.
It became so bad that, I finally had to withdraw my daughter. They dropped my son. They took away all of his credit. I withdrew my daughter and said, we're not doing this. I can't fight on my back. Okay. I'm military and I understand warfare. I get it. We're going to have to fight from another location, and it's not going to be within the school because it's not safe for you to be here. So if you have any resources for me or for my family or any of your listeners, I'm definitely open to it. I've sent several things out to very prominent attorneys. And in all honesty, I don't know if it's because they're scared. They don't want to take it on.
Yeah, there's a momentum of cowardice and liberalism that's coming through. In fact, somebody just posted this It's that the new society is emerging movement of a reconstruction, a change of the status quo away from the traditional societal norms and towards liberal Marxist and secularist ideology. So what I totally sympathize with what you're going through. We moved away from California, my wife and I. One of the reasons was because we wanted to be able to teach our children freely. That's one of the reasons. We couldn't afford a home down there, too. We moved to Idaho. You're welcome here in Idaho. You need people like you. And the thing is, I'm serious, it's a great state, and people here believe in the Constitution, and you have the right to carry, you have the right to bear arms, you have the right to homeschool your kids, etc. But nevertheless, things are getting liberal all over the place. We Christians are going to face increasing persecution, and we just have to realize this is a reality that's coming. But I also say we fight. Christians should not lay down and do nothing. Fight them.
That's right.
I don't know. Sue them if you could. If there's a way, you could find a lawyer. I mean, I know you said you looked, but sue the crud out of them. And if anybody threatened me with taking my kids away, that's a different level. We'll leave it at that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I knew right then that it was not safe for my children. I had FOIA'd a lot of information through our local health department that they were communicating with our school system, and their plans were that they wanted to vaccinate the children without the parents' knowledge and permission. Right here in our county. And the more we discovered, I said, this is not happening. I told my children early on, I said, we're going to draw our line in the sand, because if we give the devil an inch, he's going to take a mile. It's not ever going to be good enough. And we're going to keep bending over and bending over, and we're not doing that. So we're going to make our stance right here, right now. And that's exactly what we did. And unfortunately, it cost. You know, I can't even tell you the amount of warfare that my children and I encountered. The witchcraft, I mean, just, or the oppression, like you were talking about yesterday, the depression, you know, the burden, the mental anguish that it put on my family. You know, my children's scholarships, their athletic scholarships, they're not going to be recruited. You know, they can't go back and give my children prom time, you know, or game time. You know, that my children sacrifice that, you know, for them to turn around and tell us that you don't have any rights. I can't believe that the senators, the gung-ho senators that were marching and got Trump to come and speak for him, Ted Budd's office, and many other senator here, Tom Tillis, everyone turned their back. No one would come and say, that is not right. You can't. And I'm more ashamed of it. My city council members who didn't even have the gonads to stand up and say, wait a minute, school board, you can't do that. You can't kick people out of school because they don't want to put a snot rag over their face.
Man, I like you.
You know, it's modern.
I like
it's
you.
Modern day
You're
segregation.
Awesome.
You know, but Jesus said, look, he said, I didn't come to bring peace. You know, and everything that we have done, it has been from a place of love. Okay, we're not bitter. We're not holding any offense towards these people. We pray for their salvation. We pray that they will get saved and come into the kingdom of God. But if they don't, we pray that God will move them and get them out of our way. Slay them. Not the people, guys. I'm talking about the spirits that are inside of these people.
We got a break. Right. Hold on, okay? We got a break, because you are right. Boy, I wish you were my neighbor. Hey, hold on, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
So, everybody, welcome back to the show. We'll let you know that we stay on the air by your support. If you want to continue to support us, please consider going to carm.org/donate at carm.org/donate. And we'd really appreciate that if you could. And also, we're trying to raise funds for a camera in order to do podcasting, video work, converting articles to, you know, video and things like that. And if you're interested in that, just go to carm.org/camera, and all the information is right there. We're already getting donations in. And the article my friend wrote, quoted, I read, It's an article that I wrote. I didn't even know it. So I wrote this article called The New Society, and I would check it out if you're interested in it. Go to carm.org, The New Society. Check it out, and it'll talk about this stuff. Brandy, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't know if you are aware of how to do CDC research, but what I'm showing on my screen right now for the people, if you could remove that bottom one, Charlie, that bottom thing. Here we go. I'll just see if we can do it. There we go. So that it can get the full screen. What I'm doing right now literally is on the CDC website, and all the vaccines combined since 1963, deaths that have been reported from all the vaccines combined of all kinds, anthrax, DTP, diphtheria, I'm looking at all this, influenza, you know, mumps, from the 1960s to present, all of the vaccines combined, excluding COVID, there's been 10,206 total events under the subject of death. In just the 2 years since COVID, the same report, just for COVID vaccines, 34,653 deaths related to the vaccines. In 2 years.
Wow.
So I consider this an issue of personal safety. I don't want to take... this and the CDC's, it's right there, and I have an article on my website on how to get this information, and I think I do at any rate, but if I don't, I can put one up. I can do a video on how to do this. It's really easy to do, and I have a link, and you just learn how to do a couple things on it, and you can get all the reports you want, and it's from the CDC. And I'm going to ask people, why do you want me to take this thing? It's killing people. I don't want to take it.
And I've been researching. I live in the city. The city school is different than the county schools. The county schools spent $38,000 on masks that have holes in the face. Okay, so the children can play their instruments. And I'm
going to
tell you something. Being in the military, I trained for biological warfare. Okay, I'm talking about hazmat suit down. And when I confronted the school and said, "Then why don't you have biohazard containers? Why are the children allowed to wear neck gaiters? Y'all know what neck gaiters are? They're not the N95. Mm-hmm. I said, if this was as bad as you're making it out to be, then they need to be, well, we can't afford that because they have to get fitted and we don't have the machine. I said, so you just basically want them to pull a neck gaiter up over them to cover them, cover their faces. So they're not able to breathe.
Right.
Well, ma'am, you know that. No, I knew what it was about. It's about the money and it's about control. And I'm telling you, they came for my kids. Yesterday, they're going to come for y'all tomorrow. You've got to stand up and you got to say no. Heck no. The line is right here. This is it. We're not, and hold it. It's not comfortable. It wasn't comfortable financially for me. It wasn't comfortable emotionally or mentally. I mean the depression and the anxiety that my children and I went through with being scared to even come out on our front porch and feeling like I'm going to throw up when I drive past the school because of the harassment and the bullying. And she knew, and the superintendent knew that she was wrong because she tried to have me thrown out of my district. I'm in the school district. Tried to have me thrown out of the district twice so she wouldn't have to deal with this. And I said, no, ma'am. No, I'm not. I'm in district, but this is wrong. You can't do that. You can't pick and choose who's going to come to a public school based if you let the Muslims come in and pray five times a day and you provide a rug and you let them point to Mecca five times, then my children are not wearing a mask and they're going to stand on their religious liberties and exemptions. And if you don't like it, hey, that's fine. You ain't got to like it. You don't have to like it, but we're not wearing a mask. And they kept calling and calling and calling and harassing, you know. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, what do I do? Because I value my relationship with you, Holy Spirit, and I don't want to hold any offense, you know. And I don't want to shrink down. I don't want to deal with the anxiety because I value my relationship. Because what I wanted to do a few years ago when I was in the military, I would have went tap dance on some heads. I'm just keeping it real with you. You know, but I'm a changed person. The renewing of the Word of God has changed me to love those who abuse me. Or what does it say? You love your enemies, right? you know, and you pray for those and bless them, those who despitefully use you.
That's right.
And I was more concerned about not damaging my relationship with the Lord and acting out of flesh, you know. But somewhere we have to stand up as the body and say, no, we're not. This has went on long enough, and if the church would have stood up, this would have never been allowed to come into the earth, not here. You understand what I'm saying? But when you
I'm loving it.
Here, I'll tell you another thing. The churches in my community took a kickback from United Way, so they were no longer churches. They were inoculation centers.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Come on now. You got to follow the money. United Way came in and paid these pastors off. So what's the difference between that pastor and Judas? You sold your congregation out.
I'm not objecting. I like you.
No.
I like you. You move next door to me anytime.
That's what happened.
You come out here, man. Come on, sister. I love what you're saying because you're right.
It is.
Right.
And then we wonder why we don't have no power.
We wonder why
we're not raising the dead. We're not casting out demons. Laws aren't being moved and shifted in our favor because you can't even tell now, you know, people in the world, the CDC from some of these churches, you can't tell the difference. You can't. If you're really truly, this was my thing. I said right here, I told my kids, I said right here, this is where we stand. Either we're going to stand on the word of God or we're not. We're not going to go to no church where you got to wear a mask and sanitize from head to toe and sit there 6 feet apart, then what is the purpose in standing on the word of God? What is the purpose in decreeing and declaring before the sun comes up, Psalms 91? What is the reason? You know, I mean, these are questions I was asking because I was dumbfounded. I couldn't believe. Then y'all have the audacity to get mad at me because I said, no, we're not bowing down. And even if God didn't come in and save us, he's still God, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I taught my children something. We're still fighting this. So, you know, if you have any listeners out there, that any attorneys, you know, anybody that has any resources for me, please don't hesitate. You know, let us know, you know, because I'm waiting on my next marching orders. Like I told you, I was in the military, so I understand authority. I haven't gotten any orders yet to make any more moves. Right now, my children, you know, God gave me a command, and I took the children over there to my local community college, and they enrolled. We did homeschool until they were able to go to the community college over here and join to get their high school diploma, and they can do it right here from being at the computer in home, and I'm listening and watching it and still evaluating what's going on, you know. But we have a real issue going on. And until people get pissed off and they say, people get upset and say, we've had enough. You're not going to tell my son he can change what God made him to be. You know, you're not going to go in there and tell my daughter that she can go in there and have parts of her body removed, you know, because God made a mistake. This is what's being taught right now, right here in our school systems, in this county, in this city right now, you know. And so I look at it as a blessing. I say, God, I thank you.
Well, you're right, and Christians need to stand up. And we have the obligation to resist tyranny in Scripture. People use the idea that Jesus is a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude, dressed in a Roman's nightgown, turning the other cheek, don't do anything, just lie down, do nothing. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says to go out and resist evil. It says to resist tyranny. It says to stop it. It says to fight it. The Christian is supposed to be organized. The Christian men aren't doing their job because they're the ones that would be doing this. And you are right. They need to count the cost and realize that there's a time when you got to stand up for righteousness and say, we've had enough of this. And it is costly. It is very costly. I know. I've done it, and it's cost me a great deal. Well, we got to stand on the Word of God. We got to stand on truth. And I'm with you, sister. So good for you. All right? Good for you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you. And I'm just going to, last thing I'm going to say, we are all going to stand before God, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if I could have lived with myself knowing after God done told me that mask was a no-go. That is not what he intended us to, and I told my children, God told me it dishonored him. How could I have lived with myself? I would rather have gone through what I've gone through than to have lived with myself knowing that I had displeased him. And I know God would have forgiven me, grace, mercy, I get all that. But here, maybe I was born for such a time as this.
Maybe.
You know, and so I just encourage people, yes, it's going to be costly, but I'm telling you something, God, I know it. His word has never failed me. It's not failed me yet. I know he's going to bring us through this. My children are listening. They're on their way to church. I'm going to go turn on the radio. I'm on. I'm speaking to my children right now. God is going to bring us through this. You know, we have to continue to hold the line. And sometimes, you know, I had friends that were in Iraq and in Afghanistan for years until they were relieved of their post. I'm not saying that we're going to be in this situation for years, but I'm just saying that we have to continue to hold the line until we get our next set of orders. So to God be the glory. You know, this is all about him. You know, I'm determined to make the Lord famous. Amen, right?
Amen, Brad. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is email me with your email address, because there are people already who are in the chat room saying, hey, email address. They want to be in contact with you, and they're on your side. They want to pray with you and things like that. So if you want to do that, info@carm.org, you can just email me and say, you know, who you are, what we talked about real briefly in your email address, and if it's okay to share it with people, and I'll do that. If they also email me, okay? But, yeah. I'm the kind of Christian, I don't sit around and do nothing. I go after trouble. I go look at the enemy's camp, and I go to attack the enemy's camp. That's why I do what I do. Don't sit around and be idle. We got to go on.
That's right.
Have marching orders from God already. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Those are the marching orders. Gates don't do anything. They will fail if we march against them. But what do Christians do? Hey, the gates are coming after us. We got to run. And they hide. Yeah. So good for you.
No, we've got to be like the gladiator and lock shields, you know, because that's how we have to occupy and till, right? That's what the scripture
says.
We have to occupy, you know, and I want to see God just, you know, really reveal himself mighty in this situation. It's for his glory, you know, but he didn't allow our forefathers to go through, to cross the Delaware, to go through what they went through for our constitutional rights to be trampled on. Our leaders, our forefathers came into covenant with God with that constitution. That constitution is covenant. Just like my covenant today with God is covenant. And if y'all understand anything about covenant, then you know, you know how precious it is, you know?
Oh,
and so I can't sit
Brandy,
back and allow.
There's the music. There's
God
the music.
Wanted.
We got to go.
Okay.
Sorry, it's a hard break.
Okay, yes, sir.
But I've never let anybody speak as much as you have without interrupting and correcting. So
okay.
Good for you. So you contact us, okay?
Yes, sir. I will get email it to you.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Okay,
all
thank
right.
you very much. God bless you.
God bless
thank
you.
Thank you.
I enjoyed her, and she's speaking the truth. May the Lord bless you by his grace. Back on here tomorrow. Talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.